north side of Racine, Wisconsin. It's one laid-back freaking podcast this week. It's guys, Gaines, and Beer Man.
Yeah!
I mean, have you seen laid-back Larry right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of dressed apart for the laid-back thing.
I'm just saying, man.
Wait.
So yeah, you gotta get the full outfit.
Yeah, right.
I feel at peace just looking.
Yeah, I'm much more comfortable. Well,
yeah. What? You gonna say something?
Yeah, we'll have to assemble the cables there because it won't get here till Thursday night.
All right. Yeah, we're working on finishing up projects. Yeah, cable talk, right? Finishing those last minute projects for MGC.
Yeah. Which by the time this, if you're watching us live, you got a couple. Actually, you can still get advance tickets tomorrow.
Till Wednesday, yep.
Yeah, so if you're watching this live and you still haven't gotten your MGC ticket, why the fuck not?
You should probably get it because you do not want to wait in the line.
They just sold out of their third hotel.
Yeah, so...
like, this is going to be a pretty epic one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, three hotels sold out.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it was great. I don't know where I'm going to put my guests. Dan's got special guests and it's like, he's trying to find space to put them up.
I'll put you up.
So yeah, we're getting ready for last minute stuff on the show, and it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. So, but I think we need to do something else first. Actually, we have a guest tonight on the show.
Hi, guest.
As you can tell, Ryan's not here. Ryan has a very bad case of the shingles.
Hi, other Ryan.
On his penis. I mean, you usually don't get shingles.
Was
on
it the
penis.
Seat? Was it the seat?
It could have been.
I hope it didn't spread to that.
In which case, you are in trouble.
Well, you know, it only usually affects one side.
That's the problem with the show, is if you watch it, you know.
I don't have a good side. Ryan, we hope the penicillin is working.
Penile shingles. It's a serious problem.
That would be a serious problem. All right, so.
So, would he be considered a scab?
Oh, wow.
Sorry, bad joke.
Every time. It's got to be something.
You had to take it to the next level. All right. So.
It would be a part-time. Because Ryan's not on strike.
But Ryan might have scabs right now.
That's true.
All right. So, we have a guest tonight, and our guest is?
Franz.
Hi, Franz.
So, Franz has been listening to the show for a while, so he knows exactly how bad of a shit show this is. But he's still here tonight!
I came anyway. Live. I wanted to see it live.
So, fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yeah, fuck it, we'll do it live!
Not as dead, like these.
As we're mostly just gathering our energy before the explosion.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be an explosion this weekend.
Yes.
Not that kind of explosion, Rob. Well, there might be, but that's a whole other issue. All right. There's some awfully sexy video games out there. I'm just saying.
Take us to court.
Yeah, let's go to court, Rob.
All right. Time for beer court. Ba-dum-bum. Ba-dum-bum-bum. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Ba-dum-bum. Beer court.
All right. So,
Maybe I should hit transition, huh?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Franz, you got what tonight's beer. What is tonight's beer?
Tonight's beer is from Ale Asylum in Madison. It's a Madtown Nut Brown Ale.
Try to say that five times.
Yes, I had to read it. Okay. I got two cards here.
If Ryan was here, we could double check with him, but I'm pretty sure we've had something from them.
Oh, no, we've done Ale Asylum before. We've done their Bedlam.
And I think so far they have a pretty strong track record.
They have a great track record.
But I'm a scab, so we'll see what happens with the Nut Brown.
There's some problems with Madison.
Let's pass those puppies out.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's why I brought it, to hope they're to redeem.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I'm excited. This gives me the tingles.
Oh, no.
No, we've done Ale Asylum before, and their stuff is good. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I could probably give you a bottle opener.
Plus, they have a great tagline. It's like brewed in Madison, fermented insanity.
Two words, though.
Yeah. But it's a good play on words.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got
another one with the velvety. Everyone likes a good velvety.
Velvet? Is it a velvety beer?
Velvety, smooth.
It's a Velveteen Rabbit beer.
With a rich caramel aroma.
Well, yes, it does have a rich caramel aroma.
I'm having a hard
then we blended a bunch of other stuff, so good luck.
Come on. It's 5.5%, so nothing to scoff at, you know. We're going for it. All right.
I'll give that velvety.
That is smooth.
It's kind of like running over. Never mind.
It's you know what's funny? It's like it's almost chocolatey.
I was getting the chocolatey.
We say that a lot.
But it doesn't burn.
Oh,
it's
boring.
Not quite, yeah. But
interestingly enough, with the darker roasted beers, you're gonna get the coffee taste and the chocolate taste. And I think Trevor's right. A lot of the beers are going towards that chocolatey taste in the beer,
rather than the coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit of a nutty.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's not brown,
so yeah.
It does accomplish.
Don't make me say that again.
So,
my nuts aren't brown. Well, maybe right now, but that's a whole. I'll get that treated, okay?
Look, one nut punch, and...
That's not bad.
So?
Yeah.
It's not, it's a good classic ale. It's not, like, heavily carbonated or anything like that, which is great. So it makes it more drinkable. You're not going to get...
It's definitely a little heavier for an ale, though.
Yeah, I agree on that. It's somewhere between that...
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a couple steps of a porter.
Yeah, it's not going to like drag down your stomach or anything. I don't really quickly.
Got a lingering aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be one of your beers, though.
No,
it's bad.
It's a little heavy.
Really unpleasant, but it sure is there.
Yeah, no, it's just a couple steps above a porter. I'm thinking.
Yeah, but it's good.
I'm already like a quarter of the way down. So.
Yeah, so evidently it can't be that bad, right?
So what do you think?
You know?
I'm going to go like thumbs up on this. I mean, I like Ale Asylum's work. This is a good beer.
I would go to a bar and actually ask for
that. I would order that, yes. Yeah.
It's strong, but not too strong.
No. You can taste the alcohol in it, so it's not like it's like a watery beer.
It's a classic roadster beer.
Roadster beer?
Yeah, it's good. It's, you know, you go down the back roads with it and drink up.
And then throw the bottle at something as you're passing by.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
What?
A roadster?
I've never heard
that term before.
I think
a roadster is.
He totally made it up. Yeah.
He was reaching
out. I know what a roadster is. I'm thinking, how does this go to like a race car?
Well, it's not really a race. It's more of the road ready type of race car. It's not a,
you know,
it's
but
not
that,
a midget.
I would say again,
sake.
More
it's,
a
so you're thinking
roadster. More
you're
a fall
like,
beer or
like Potsy's vehicle.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I like to throw
it out
when
the rumble seat.
Yeah. You got rumble seat.
It's fine now because it's freaking Wisconsin. It's not that nice out, but. This is a colder weather beer. It's a good fall. I think this would make a great fall beer.
Do you think 90 degrees is going to go?
It is always in their lineup, though. You can always get it.
Again, my thing is heavy. I don't drink heavy beers in the summer.
I would agree.
He doesn't drink heavy beers often anyway.
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm just not a heavy beer drinker. So, you know, I don't.
No,
like,
you are a heavy beer drinker.
Well, okay, wait. Let me rephrase that.
If he's going to drink heavy,
right?
He wants to.
Exactly.
All right,
in the
Judge Rob. All right, charge number one. Nuts in the face of a minor. I find you guilty. Charge number two. They were okay with it. Yeah. Deferred sentence. Deferred sentence. You're gonna get in big trouble someday for those nuts in the face you did to that teenager. However, I'm gonna drink you right now.
All right.
Pretty happy with this. This is a good... This reminds me of college. My college days. This is a good... Just sit back.
You drank that well in college.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
God bless you.
Yeah, Tom was buying me beer.
Well, that's true. No, I didn't actually... Yeah, no, he mentioned that. Yeah.
Sure, shit, I wasn't ordering PBR on that.
All right. Okay, so...
I think my college days were mostly... $3.99, 24 packs
of
Steel
Reserve.
No.
There was a lot of Mad Dog in my college years.
All right, so Rob, what is the real topic tonight?
Real topic tonight is Nintendo Switch. Now
we're going to
talk about this
it.
A lot, but yeah, and I want to note the vote that I was horrible. No, you were on my side on this too.
I was not.
Yeah, you were not, and I think you were off of it too. That I thought the Nintendo Switch would be a pretty big thing for Nintendo. I thought it would bring them back on track. And I think right now the tail of the tape shows that it's done it. It hasn't been a perfect launch, but it hasn't been a bad launch. Nintendo's acknowledged their shortcomings and worked on fixing.
I do have to say, considering how successful it is for having very few physical titles.
I think it speaks to the platform as an attractive platform.
That's really the amazing part.
It doesn't hurt that it had such a killer app in Zelda, you know, like, the fact is it had such an amazing launch title.
But they also had on the Wii U, and it sure as shit didn't help Wii U sales.
That's fair.
It, however, did well on the Switch, and it goes down to the format of the Switch. It just, for me at least, it's not a bad idea.
Potential.
You know, a lot of us, I think, you know, you're missing
it
with the family.
In the end, it's a handheld you can hook to a TV, right?
And man, like my friends,
yes.
It is.
But this is, again, and this is where I thought it would fall short. The thing is, right now, there are... Yes, it's a handheld, but it is a handheld at the end of the day. And I really thought this whole tablet thing was going to be a downfall for it. That was my big drawback of it. And I'm wrong. I mean, I was completely wrong on that one.
I'm big on the Android handhelds. I love the NVIDIA Shield. I love things like GPD's XD. I think it's a good platform. I think the idea that I could take the same game that I'm playing on the big screen, which I do with the NVIDIA Shield, I will take it home and I'll play it on my GPD XD. Mm-hmm. I love that shit. And I really wish they made another handheld, which apparently they took the chip from and put it in here. At least that's a rumor with the NVIDIA Shield folks. They're kind of angry about it, but you know, it was a proof of concept, and then this is what they were trying to sell. So, from an NVIDIA point of view, this is a win for them. They've got a well-selling console. I know I'm not going into Nintendo too much, but because you know they might copyright slap us. No, I'm just.
I should have tagged them in this.
I thought they acknowledged their faults.
They acknowledged that fault.
Not
according to. Yeah, they're assholes on that.
They're very strict.
We're gonna have to. I'll let that go for the moment. But as far as NVIDIA is concerned, I think it's a pretty big win for them. I think it's a pretty big win for Nintendo. I think they've. They weren't on the ropes because one of the good things about Nintendo.
So the NVIDIA Shield is connected to the Switch
because they make the mobile processor.
Yeah,
NVIDIA makes
the graphics chip that are in here.
There was going to be a next handheld. I mean, it was to the point of it was registered with the FCC. In fact, they re-registered it again, which I don't understand what happened there. They just re-registered the handheld. It is one of my favorite handheld. It is. Hands down, my favorite handheld console of the last generation. I love GPD. It's just that the NVIDIA Shield got so much right. It was so close. But Nintendo actually took that concept and they brought it home. They actually like took it to its fruition. And now you can see the power of this kind of mobile handheld going into... You know, the idea that you can dock this thing now and use it as your main console as well. It's not an Xbox One. It's not a PS4, but it's close enough that you can play some hardcore games on it and still enjoy it. You've got the controllers to do it, and I think you can kind of see it coming. People love their NVIDIA Shields. You just couldn't sell it because it was NVIDIA selling it. They're a video card manufacturer. And people didn't really... They don't look at Android as a gaming platform. And rightfully
so.
It
didn't have the mass market. It didn't have the mass market appeal.
Android didn't...
Yeah,
you know,
well,
in their defense...
When the best game is, puzzler, you know.
There were plenty
Final
of great
Fantasy,
games.
There was some hardcore
gaming. Yeah, on the Shield, there was a lot of
But I agree with you, though, on the fact that...
I'm thinking of Android
it didn't
game
get
here,
the,
you know.
No, that's an Android game.
Yeah.
But you can play Final Fantasy IX on it.
Yeah.
No problem. It's that... I agree with you, though, that is the perception of Android.
Right.
So you had to kind of
bust through
them.
That. You had to really
bust through it.
Really break through it. And like NVIDIA did a good job kind of trying to puncture that, but it just didn't get far enough.
Yeah, that happens. But
you know?
I don't think that was their plan either.
Yeah.
That wasn't what they were doing. They wanted to sell it to someone.
No, it was proof of concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, you can use our guts, our processor, our chip,
and have
our graphics chip, and make a nice dockable unit or nice portable gaming system or something along that line. And so...
I can't wait for the Chinese rip-offs of this, by the way. I am, like...
Well, no, that's an...
Come on, GPD, no. Get the fuck out now.
That's an interesting point, because... No, I'm not sure what the exact hardware is, but if they use the standard NVIDIA chipset...
Yeah, they could do some stuff. I think got off their Rock Chip love, or their... I don't know, GPD right now is on an Intel love trip, but...
Yeah. So...
We'll see what they do, but... And I don't... I hate to swing this over to that box, but you have to have a hardware manufacturer that does it really well. NVIDIA is capable of doing it. GPD is the only Chinese company I know of that's capable of pulling off OEM level equipment. JXD, no. I love JXD, don't get me wrong, but it's not OEM quality. It's not the kind of quality you see out of the Japanese. But Nintendo obviously does do Japanese, that Japanese quality, that heavy feel to it. And that's one of the first things people say about the Switch is that the quality feel is there. It doesn't It doesn't feel like a trinket. It feels like a gaming system.
So how's your experience been with the Switch so far, Franz?
It's been good. They've had a few issues. You probably heard about the left or the right Joy-Con, mainly the left, having some difficulty reading.
Right.
But if you had an issue, you called Nintendo, you shipped it off, it came back within a week, and they put a little foam conductive little patch inside your Joy-Con, and it seemed to have fixed any kind of connectivity issues that it was having. So
right now, I haven't had any.
What's that?
It fills me with want.
lots
you think you want to, because I know it's going to do it to you.
I already know I kind of want to pick one up eventually. I just try not to buy first generation hardware unless I really like.
True. I do not buy first generation.
Yeah, I just
I usually don't, but usually Nintendo I'm usually okay with.
Yeah, they again their quality is.
And so far, it's been okay for me.
Yeah. It's a good feeling console. It feels surprisingly comfortable in your hands as a portable. I didn't expect the shape to be as comfortable as it was.
It has a good weight to it.
Yeah. It presses against the back of your fingers, so it's nice and snug there. It doesn't feel floaty or anything.
They didn't use the, I don't think they used the standard game pads that everybody uses either. Both Sony and GPD use the same game pads, literally. You can swap them out between the two, game sticks. That one feels like it's something else.
Well, what they did with the buttons, both Joy-Cons are sold as two controllers. It's your system, and it comes with two controllers. So you take those off, you have the small thing, you put it usually horizontally, and you play with it that way. And they have a little adapter to make it a little bigger in your hand. And it really is two controllers if you're playing with a friend. And then you put the kickstand out, and away you go with just your tablet if you're on the go.
That's the same game.
What's your battery life been like?
For Zelda, it's 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then they say, like, if you're picking up some sort of smaller game, then up to 6 hours, maybe 6.5. I haven't pushed it a lot. I picked up Snake Pass, which is a newer game that just came out a couple days ago on PS4, on Xbox, and on the Switch. And I think that one will last a little longer.
I'm guessing there's no physical media for that at all.
No.
It's got the cards.
SD card type
thing. Oh, SD cards.
It looks like an SD card. It is not
it's
an
flash
SD
media.
Card.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So there is a physical media out there.
There is.
Yeah.
And they're actually starting to see people like their physical media, even in a small game. So like Binding of Isaac. Who was the big fan of Binding of Isaac? Somebody here I thought was a...
Okay.
So yeah, it really came out, and the whole series, if you... I never played it, but it's my son bought it. So you can buy it as the cartridge with all its add-ons, and it comes with stickers and a cute little case, and, they really did a good job
packaging
it.
I would buy it just to get this.
Well, yeah, and a little book, a little instruction book, which that doesn't happen anymore in games, as you know.
I talked about that game, the lead singer, Lords of the Trident, convinced me that he plays it constantly,
Binding of Isaac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great game.
It's a twin stick shooter, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's also a roguelite.
Yeah.
Roguelite. Light.
No.
You know what? No, screw that. It's a roguelike. Fuck you people. Because I'm sick of that bullshit. It's just trying to demean games and try to do something different with roguelike. And you know what? If it doesn't have if it doesn't have an at character for your fucking main character, it's a roguelike.
Well, but it also
anybody gonna challenge this?
It also has that sort of Zelda.
No, he's on a roll. I am not going to stop
does.
Him now.
It is a puzzle, you know,
puzzle
exploration.
So, yeah, and it's randomly generated.
But when you die,
it's good. And it's depressing. My wife just gets really... Darlene,
what, because your primary weapon is tears?
Yeah, and the horrible things that happen... You know, completing a level isn't a happy thing. Something horrible happens to that poor kid, like, every time you complete a level... Like, it'll be like a memory of him running out of toilet paper or some little girl laughing at him. You know, it's terrible.
Wow, terrible. That does not sound good.
Yeah, but it's a great
game. Again.
So well done.
So, I mean, again, obviously the two big launch titles you had, your new Zelda game, and there was the Bomberman. Has there any been any other titles or anything that have been pretty interesting for the system?
Snipperclips. I believe they're British. They came up with a little puzzler game where you literally cut each other up and fit sizes together. I cannot think outside the box very well. In high school, when you take that test and do spatial things and see how you could do with graphs and stuff, failed miserably. However, playing with somebody else who is halfway good at it, my wife... You know, do this, do that. And she's not a gamer. She doesn't really play games, but she was directing me how to, you know, move to cut each other up to fit the square, to fit the box, whatever, fit the triangle. So, and it's $20. It's, you know, it's an indie game, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, I appreciate...
It's a party game.
Yeah, I appreciate the things that try to, like, take advantage of that hardware team.
Right, and I'm thinking they're going to get more and more. As we know, the Vita... Is dead. It's pretty much gone. I mean, not 100%.
Oh, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him.
But
it's still going strong in Japan, man. They are legitimately have like a new lineup, but whatever.
But I think
it's dead here.
I think this will take its place for all those really cool, you know, niche games or just fun, you know, short games.
Yeah. Again, I just it's difficult to kind of see exactly where the future is, but I mean. Definitely, just today I saw the next big Square Enix RPG is going to be Switch exclusive. So
mm-hmm. I wish like it's just complete sidetrack kind of.
Okay. Wow, surprise!
Really? I wish they like cross platform license were available. Like so, like you buy Binding of Isaac or you buy it in Steam or whatever, and Steam's maybe a little like this, but so I can play it on my PC, but then I would love to be able to maybe play it on something else. And it could be like, you know, the gold package is you get the
right. I would get the cross. I would happily pay it
a little more.
I have legitimately thought of this. I was like, I happily pay an extra like $10 if I can have it on multiple platforms. Like whenever I decide to buy a game from my Xbox One or my PC, I'm always split. Right. I have friends on different platforms.
Yeah, right. It'd be great if we could. And it's electronic medium, so that should be the advantage of it. You know that hey, you can slide a license between two. And if you're already gonna like some of these ones that make you log into some sort of thing ahead of time.
Yeah,
they already know you.
Yeah, they already know it's you.
Yeah, so I should totally be in. You know,
somebody hire Larry. All right.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Get on a Nintendo. But it's like I think that definitely obviously I'm not the only one who's thought this because it's sold hella well so far. I think it's a system that's got a lot of potential for sure.
What's this clip at? I haven't really been tracking.
Pretty much they shipped 2 million and I think they pretty much sold out. If you try and get one now worldwide, 2 million.
Yeah, they're doubling production.
Now the talk was they were going to go 8 million for the calendar year and. Mm. Unofficially, it hasn't been from Nintendo yet, but unofficial sources said they doubled that. They're gonna go for 16 million in the first calendar full year.
So they're going for Wii level.
Is this the pre-death of the Game Boy?
Wow.
Well, that's another story.
Okay, I'm gonna.
They haven't said that. Of course, they haven't said that.
Okay,
no, I'm just saying.
If you look at Nintendo's history, which again I know very well from like as I collect a lot of their marketing materials, it's really kind of how they operate. Again, they will never really officially say, "Hey, like this
the system's done,"
but they will co-market. Again, I've got lots of store promotional videos where they will market the NES and the Super Nintendo at the same time, right. Or the Super Nintendo and the N64 on the same video. They're going to release new games for both. But
well,
again,
sure, but I mean, I don't.
This definitely starts to spell.
Are you going to see another Game Boy title system?
I have to say no.
Or is this it? This is where they're at. They're going to do.
How can we predict the future like that? There is such a classic nostalgia. Like, the name Game Boy just incites something totally different. It has a very,
you know
very
what,
strong
you know
connection
what you'll have,
in people's
this
hearts
isn't,
and mind.
This isn't as portable as you think it is. It is portable, but I got a case that's, you know, a little bigger to carry it around, because you can't just carry this.
Yeah.
You could, but in your pocket.
Well,
yeah.
Do you remember the PS?
P, it can be, but it's not the same as a 3DS.
So you think like the Game Boy would still live as the smaller?
It
system.
Could. It yeah. could, but
again, that's not. I mean, this system just came out. Like, I highly doubt the name Game Boy.
I see the stabbing at the Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously
coming from the screen.
Again, this is a next iteration, but there's going to be someday. That Nintendo's going to get back on this nostalgia train sometime and say, we're going to re-release a Game Boy-like product. I can tell you.
From the business standpoint, they took a look. As you know, Nintendo was hurting when they did the Wii U. But what they did was, supposedly, they've combined studios so that that huge drought that they had when they were trying to put out games for
both
things, they've kind of combined them because this is portable. So you could have a small game like a 3DS type game on this, and the studio can support it along with the bigger games and the studios that are doing those. So
there's a lot to be said for standardization of platform too.
Right.
It's a lot easier to make something that's compatible and that works and is bug free. When you're working on one standard platform and not...
So, from that respect, I think that's probably why you could say maybe the 3DS / Game Boys maybe down the road. But it's early yet.
Well, I know. I know. I'm just sitting there thinking, well, they don't really have a console anymore.
Right.
They only have handhelds. And they happen to be able to plug this one in.
But to be fair,
really a handheld first, right?
If you think about it, I mean, the Wii was kind of an anomaly in the way of sales. But it's like, I think Nintendo has always been stronger in their handheld department, obviously. The sales for their consoles have always been pretty good.
Certainly.
But handhelds have always blown them out of the water.
Certainly at the GBA level. I mean, the stats... the SNES obviously was their last, like,
behemoth.
What you would call it. Yeah, what would you
powerful
call it? Yeah, it's last
number
power
one
system.
In the market.
Yeah, it was the king. I mean,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Wii was number one in the market. It just.
Yeah.
So,
it
but
was
not power.
Weird.
Right, power wise, it just.
Yeah. The Wii did okay, though. GameCube
did
if you
okay.
combined with. Yeah.
Well, the
to
Wii
PS2,
did very
okay.
well.
But the
yeah,
Wii
the
just
game,
sold.
The GameCube. Again, did okay, but not great either.
Yeah, if you think about it compared to what handhelds...
How many GameCube systems are we showing at MGC?
Like six?
Yeah,
like six, okay.
Seven?
Yes,
technically
seven. There'll
be Cube Love, for sure.
We are showing some Cube Love, so I don't want to hear anything. The Wii's a bit of an anomaly, but the Cube was kind of that, when they got away from that, the power that they developed on the SNES... which was a graphically powerful system for its time. They had done some really cool things for its time.
Okay. I think you're skipping a generation. Because, again, your competitors were Xbox and PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And
I'm again, sorry. No, N64. I'm skipping a generation. Yeah. Thank you. The
N64
was
not the strong boy. It had dedicated graphics, but it was not... You look at it versus a... The problem was the storage. I mean,
yeah.
In reality,
N64
did
not
look at
age
it
well.
Next to what
it, no, it
did,
has some it didn't age well. When it first came out, it was great. That's true.
It was good.
It was
I think in retrospect, the N64 was pretty great. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was fun at the end of the day.
But it had a lot of shit ports.
You think they're not
games that were great on the PS?
Yeah.
Watch me avoid this way I write this question, okay? So, do you think the fact that it didn't go with the optical drive really hurt it?
Yeah,
it did.
Do you see what I avoided there?
Yeah, you did. So, good call. Yeah, well, again, that was the time when publishers like Squaresoft abandoned N64. It's because they needed to go over to an optical media because they wanted to
tell
these big grand tales that might fit on a cartridge.
Yeah.
So, again, it was at the time, it wasn't right. It wasn't the right move, for sure. And I think Nintendo...
It wasn't bad, though. I mean, it had great games. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It wasn't a complete failure. It didn't perform.
No. They were the only people to get a 3D platformer that actually worked, for a long time.
Wait, Bubsy 3D wasn't good? Come on.
I still think the you know... And I don't know. I mean, maybe down the road, rather than the Wii U, the Wii 2... You know, so if they bring back another console, one that was, you know, motion based again, because this isn't motion based.
Larry really likes
his
motion based.
You know what? And I think there's.
But this does have that.
It can be. They're trying to. They distance themselves a little bit because what happened to the Wii U. But it does. Some people looked at it. It's just another Wii U because it's got some motion controls. If you want it,
I don't. Think...
Some games you can use motion controls, but they're giving you the option of the sticks. So every game that might have motion controls, they'll also pretty much support,
Do the sticks have motion in them? Or
Yes.
I do have to say, motion controls, I think, are going to be really mainly only a space that's dominated by VR, if VR continues to be a thing.
It's always going to be a genre.
It's going to be a genre, but I don't think... I'd like to credit
Nintendo for bringing that. Vision 4.
Oculus would never exist if it wasn't. Yeah.
No, well, there Oculus is, of course, talk Nintendo is going to come out with their own VR.
You know, if you don't have those controllers the way they are, you know, if they didn't start using the Mercury Switches and all that.
I think we should go back to seeing that Atari invented VR.
So for all of you people who aren't ancient, to make
please fill me in.
I gotta fill you in because Larry just said Mercury Switches. So in the early days of video gaming, there were these really cool controllers. Very often it was like a single fighter stick.
They were not cool.
And if you tilted it would act just like a joystick. I didn't say they were cool. I just said... So what they did to do these were they had what was called Mercury Switches back then, which was basically a tilt switch, which was a ball of mercury inside of a glass tube and a couple of contacts.
Ball of cancer.
No, serious, guys. We're not just talking a little mercury in there. We're talking a ball of mercury. Yeah,
they were about... I had a couple of them.
Yeah.
By the way, completely useless controllers.
I still have some.
They're horrendous.
They are not horrendous.
I'm surprised your mercury...
Okay, I have no idea what they're talking
about.
Lethal Weapon 1, when they go to Daisy's house and it blows up, Mel holds up, this is high-tech stuff. These are Merc's switches. These are Mercury switches. And that's what they used to blow up.
What was your... That was like 83, 84, right?
Exactly.
Thank you. Right.
Okay,
right.
Fair enough. But my point is...
Your point is to...
You know, they bring that technology.
I love that we just talked about Mercury. Because
why not?
I won't say that was a predator, because I think the VR would have gone that route anyways. It pretty much had to. It is interesting.
Well, there was attempts earlier with,
you have to start somewhere, and then you will.
And Samadee Amigo had their little, they had their...
Samadee Amigo, the
you know,
the
had
Maraca.
Some, had
which,
some...
Which used sonar.
Yeah, used some controls like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they had
so.
Sonar.
Oh, no, that was totally... Mercury Switch.
Yeah, so they actually... So if you remember back with the Dreamcast and Samba de Vigo, they had a sonar bar that you set down that picked up the height of the maracas through sonar.
But they really bring it out. And that was my big thing with the Switch, is I was like, I kind of hate to see that lost.
I don't think it's going to be lost. I think Nintendo needs to
take a step back from it. Like, again, obviously... Like,
hold on,
no,
I have a call from Ben Thompson.
Okay.
I have to
he can say it. But
Moshi Moshi. Hey.
The Wii did well, obviously.
Doing?
But towards the end of its life cycle,
you do realize we're recording
people
the show
were
right
continuing
now.
To play it for its Wii.
Oh, that's why you're calling. Then, we're recording.
I mean,
show?
The Wii U had its own niche
Hold
thing,
on.
But I don't think
I'm gonna put you on
missing the cable.
So I think Nintendo did a great job at kind of balancing. Having the
you Larry, when you get this, you have to buy one to switch.
While we're
switch,
deep in this high quality podcast,
because that's
that
the motion control
game.
Okay, wait, we're just trying to find the case.
I'm going to do this one.
But yeah, the once you switch party games.
Well, yeah, it's okay. More or less a one-on-one game.
Okay, so it's got mini games and stuff. So
that's what it kind of is, but it's more a tech demo.
Okay, the stuff they did looks kind of cool.
It's chaos.
Yeah,
show into.
Yeah, way to put in the chaos, Ben.
That's true.
I got this wire here that doesn't seem to be plugged into anything.
Oh, cool! Just don't do that.
Larry's just playing with cables here.
So
you're
a cat.
Yeah. So we've been talking about.
So
are
I mean,
you
you've been playing a lot of Zelda. Is there like anything you're looking forward to coming out for the system?
You know that.
I'm gonna give Splatoon a try. I didn't try it on the Wii U, but they already had a test fire, you know, stress
kind of like
symbol.
A beta thing,
exactly. So I'm gonna try that and see how.
Yeah,
it
I'm
really
a,
glad.
It's really I really love the first thing. One, and again,
play it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very cool, unique. It's a shooter, but not a shooter.
You're right. Exactly.
So it's great.
It's a family friendly.
It's fun. Thing. It's fun though. At the end of the day, like just like okay, if you know how to play a shooter, you get the general gist of it.
Ben, can you hear us?
It has a very.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Evidently, we can.
Online, Ben Thompson.
So wait. We have a call-in guest to the show.
Nice.
And the call-in guest is.
Ben, I'm on the podcast normally. I just moved away.
Yeah, and then stopped calling in like you were supposed to.
No, I stopped calling in because you know how weird it is to be a
disembodied
a guy
voice?
A podcast and not be there. I am the disembodied voice.
Ooh. Okay, that was just wrong.
You're in it. You're giving Rob a lap dance whether you want to or not. Right now.
Got yourself a body now!
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So
let's talk about Splatoon.
Let's get back to the topic. Splatoon.
It's great. It's a great game, and I mean, obviously, it has a kind of a cult following. It sold relatively well. I think it really kind of pushed the Wii U towards the end as much as it could, considering how underwhelming the Wii U kind of performed. I'm trying to remember.
No.
It wasn't bad. Like the Wii U didn't
do
awful.
Bye, guys. It's nice talking to you. My food came.
Ben, you suck.
Ben, out of your way.
You really suck, am. Ben. We'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, see you this weekend.
So,
right.
For
those
who miss Ben, he will be at the Midwest Gaming Conference.
That's worth
weekend.
Buying a ticket right there.
Yes. The top set.
Ben experience. Browns is doing the show with us tonight.
It's the spin.
He's
gone. Oh,
yes,
he's gone.
He's gone.
Gone.
He's
gone.
The food came.
Whoa.
He said.
Damn.
Even I can't bring Ben from there. No.
But,
he says I gotta go.
So Splatoon is coming this summer. Before that, I do have an indie game that I'm really looking forward to. You guys have never heard of it, but I think it's going to be big. It's called Mario Kart. Picture.
This rare.
Okay. They're basically remaking it from the Wii U version, but it's going to be a blast. So that's a must buy.
Well, okay. Well, how would that work? Would you? So, like, in the other days, you would have a console and you'd have four joysticks.
Right. Right.
You
can, of course, do it the same way. I'm guessing with four people on the Switch on the TV probably be better because of the bigger screen. Mm-hmm. But there's ways to do this with your. What you call LAN party kind of thing. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but basically you can hook up eight switches, eight individual
screens,
and then you're playing each other though in that game, in the same game.
I do
understand
how
that works. It's wizardry.
Their network options I think are pretty slick, where you can either have multiple, just take the controller, the Joy-Cons off, and have multiple people per one unit, or network them together. I think the fact that they've had so many options, and again for the first party titles, I do believe it looks like they're trying to support that really well, because again that's the main selling feature. I think it's going to do really well if they pull it off right.
Yeah, we'll see. But the online feature is free for us new adoptees. And come, I believe, fall, they're going to start charging like everybody else has since when did Xbox start that? Forever ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's right now it's looking at like, $20 a year or so. Obviously, it's not going to be quite at the level of Xbox and PlayStation 4's. What they're giving you, they supposedly are going to let you play a game, one game a month. but you're renting it. You don't get to keep it, and then they give you a deal maybe on buying it.
Nintendo has a
We'll see how that yeah, works out.
Their history of online has
they
been...
They don't have one.
Yeah, which is probably why they're starting to charge. Be like, we need some money for infrastructure.
So we'll see how that goes. But if they really want to embrace online, obviously they kind of need to charge you a little something-something.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, getting the free game from...
Yeah, it's still free for them.
PlayStation 4 and...
Or
PlayStation or, and Xbox. You mean you just get a flat
As long
game
as you keep paying that thing, it's yours as long as... Yeah.
Well, for Nintendo works that way. As long as you keep paying it?
Nope. No. It goes away in a month. One takes this place. But you can buy it. And I didn't get into buying too much. But, okay, so this thing comes with 32 gigs of onboard memory for your games, and Zelda is 12, and
the
system actually takes up 4, so really you have 28 gigs when you open this thing up. However, behind the little baby kickstand is room for a micro SD, while they tout, you can get a 2 terabyte. No, you can't get a 2 terabyte Nintendo yet. However, you can get a 128. I bought a 128 for $50.
Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, you're paying a little bit
my
extra.
My Xbox One has 250, and I think I'm at 90%.
Yeah, no,
it
goes fast. It goes fast.
It's 500 and 1,000 gigabytes.
Yeah, but it goes fast. That's
well, whatever it is, it's at 90%
right now. It's a half a terabyte or a terabyte. But the problem is it goes fast.
But you guys are big on... Okay, yeah, you guys are big on your physical media.
Yeah.
So physical won't really eat into anything. I mean, it's...
Well, I kind of like physical media because then it gives... You know, it's who's got the power, right? If you had a physical copy of something, if something goes out of business, you can still you still have that game,
unless
right?
It's an online only,
and being
you know?
Flash, when I put in
Zelda,
I
people
can
come up
away.
With their own servers.
Not true. You know? I'm just thinking of a favorite.
But I mean, you know, generally speaking, it's like if you own something, and I can sell it off or whatever.
Oh,
right.
That's the other thing, reselling.
And I know they want to totally try to jump into that by putting licensing on.
They
want to
stop that, is what they want to do.
You know, and that way you can pay 3-4 times for
But we've had this discussion before. There won't be retro gaming in 20 years because none of the games you're buying nowadays are going to have any hard.
That's not true.
Very few.
That's no, not true.
It's
going to
be
really hard.
It's gonna be I guarantee you, 20 years down the line, the kids that were 13 and 14 are gonna go out of their way to try and make that media work. I guarantee you, because they're gonna have strong connections.
It's not about that. Like, if it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. And
Most Xbox 360 games had a physical release. You have a disc, you know.
360,
and the Xbox One, most of the games were released as a physical release.
I would agree with the bigger games often do have a physical release. And that is true right
now. Yeah, all those little games that you want to play, those are sitting on your hard drive, and those need authentication eventually.
Right.
Yeah. That's a real problem. Retro
gaming, that's a bold stretch.
Somebody will probably break it, and you'll just launch it on there.
You're right. It won't exist. I just think
it's not the way it is.
You're right. It's going to be greatly limited.
Well, here's the other problem.
A small piece of software, it's a recording piece of software, and it's like the best software. Pound for pound, one of the best pieces of software I've ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
And the company's gone out of business. And so you can't download that software anymore.
Right.
And, you know, and I paid for it. And for paying for some sound recording at the time, you know, paying $60 was actually quite a bit. But it was worth it. It was good.
Right.
It did it right. And, you know, if I had, like, the physical CD that I could actually put in...
You could reinstall another system. I this goes back to, I don't care if I have to punch in code keys and so on and so forth. I just wanted to have something that I can install it again.
Yeah, you talk about other games, like, the Halo re-release, re-release of it. It's completely useless without its updates. It is essentially unplayable.
Yeah.
So right, and now the company, we don't send those updates anymore.
That's it, people do it. I mean, people are going to do it, but it's not going to be like it is right now. There's a marketplace. There's a you know, you go with these systems, you can go to the store.
Right.
You know, go to a used video game store and buy
it. You
could
go
to it's not going
to
be like that.
The Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yes, you go to the Midwest Gaming Classic, pick it up. It's just not going to be the same.
No, there might be.
Hey, things change.
Envision this. You know what there might be?
It's just how it is.
Like corners where instead of like you buying media or whatever, it's like, you know, there'll be these corners of make your game work.
Yeah. No, Travis is right about that. There will be. He's right. Kids now will be nostalgic for what they had, and hopefully they will find ways to make it work.
Not everyone's going to know how to do it, so there's going to be these corners where, like, you know, it's like, Travis is here, and he can make your game work, you know, and come to the Midwest Gaming Classic.
Oh, thanks,
yeah.
No, it's interesting, yeah.
Their original downloadable content, I am one of, like, 80 people who has it hosted still. Because, again, you can't really get it. Seriously, downloadable content for the original Xbox isn't the easiest to come by anymore. So, again, there are people who preserve all that, and there are people who understand the importance of preserving it because we have the internet, and it's so, like, widespread now that people realize, hey, this stuff's going to be gone in 10 years. There's a game I really liked, Scott Pilgrim.
Great game.
Digital-only release, only on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and no longer is sold anymore. If you want to get it, and you own it already, you bought it, you can re-download it. But eventually those servers are going to go down.
That really bothers me, too. The whole, just re-download it or whatever. So you can install it and you can re-download it.
That will eventually go away.
Are you keep that server up for the next 40 years?
Yeah, somebody will archive it. I mean, somebody's going to archive it, and what they'll do is they'll copy it from the thing. But, it's just whiny old man.
It's going to...
it doesn't have the same...
As a tactile feel of it.
Yeah.
I get that. And, like, again, I think how things are going
to... Are you listening, Nintendo? Continue.
Well, no, I do have to say, that was one of the reasons...
They've got physical content.
No, that's one of the reasons I decided to do that, because, A, Nintendo knows that it's pretty big among their collector, their hardcore fan base.
The nostalgia.
The nostalgia, and again, Nintendo knows, hey, like, our stuff is going to have that nostalgia value. They specifically, and again, they were originally looking at more of a physical-style cartridge. Again, they settled on the flash memory... When it came to actually bread the butter, but
without physical media.
I love that in the PX gallery we're talking about a flash game. literally just talking about
a great
flash
one though.
Yeah, it was it's epic.
You know, without the physical media, the unboxing videos really take a hit.
All right.
Well, I'm unzipping it.
Here's my receipt of steam.
It's an unzipping video. Oh, that one's corrupt.
Yeah, man. But who knows where the market's gonna be? But again, Nintendo's taking the steps because they know that they're smarter than that. Like, they think they're doing a good job.
And that is the thing. You know, people are talking about the death of Nintendo and all this, but the fact is, I mean, they make money on every unit. They are very unique. Every Wii U that went out,
$50 each. If you want to buy the Pro one, $50 or 2 for $80.
Wow, such a deal!
Neither Sony or Microsoft do that. They lose money on every console. They make their money on software, whereas Nintendo makes money on everything, and it makes them survivable. They have bank, you know, and that's why they can afford to take some risks, which makes them great, and also makes them do. You know, the Wii U wasn't terrible, but it was...
Got a camera you can take a picture.
No, I'm looking at the world's smallest effing D-pad I've ever seen. So, wait a minute, I gotta show this on camera. So, you know, I know you see it in the pictures, but you don't realize...
Wait, isn't a D-pad on the
that's
other one?
That's not the
D-pad. Yeah.
That's not really the D-pad. That's like a menu button.
That's called a D-pad. You guys can see... I'm gonna compare it to my thumb, because... That is. Wait, let me just check on that. Yeah, that should be in frame. Look at the size of that little menu D-pad on this thing, guys. It is teeny. So again, going back to the NES.
That's not your D-pad though. That's your button pad.
No, that is a D-pad.
It's technically directional pad.
Thank you. It's a
He's
D-pad.
He's not wrong, but.
It's not used the way you think it is.
No, it doesn't matter what you do.
No, the D-pad's
not
this one.
Oh,
that's how I know that that's the right one.
I don't care what you use.
This is the left one.
No, it's a plus side.
Yeah, no, that's a plus side. You're right. And in a D-pad.
That's a tiny T.
Yeah,
the D-pad's on this one.
No.
That's smaller than Artie Boy.
Where do you see a D-pad on that?
Hey, Benjamin Churchill. It looks like a Artie Boy
D-pad.
But wait a minute.
Directional button.
We had an Artie Boy.
All right. Yeah,
knock it out. We had a, let's compare.
Okay.
No, that's way smaller than an Artie Boy.
This is the world's smallest D-pad.
Holy crap. All right, let's compare. Here, let's hold those up.
Let's whip them out.
Yeah, hey, Ken. Let's whip it out.
Let's whip them out. Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
We'll see you Friday, Ken.
Look at this. Oh, no.
No competition.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Archer Boy's got a much larger D-pad.
Well, how do you normally use the D-pad?
So, all right. What this episode has devolved into is whipping it out and comparing the size.
Yes. Yeah,
we are just waiting for that.
Comparison.
Yeah, okay. I hear the peanut gallery shouting compare. There's lots of whipping it out.
Oh, wow, yeah, but they are shouting compare.
Tom started it.
I specifically right the word unzipping. I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable.
And he said, look how cute it was.
What's kind of terrifying is kind of how many podcasts would have an Artie Boy laying around.
Yeah, just, it's kind of scary.
You're sitting there.
Had that long in the cabinet. So how do you normally use it? What is that normally used for?
It's like a menu. Like one's menu brings up menu.
Is there actually left right in it, though? Or is it
no,
just
I
button?
Just use it to button.
No, it's left right, dude. That's
maybe
a,
you can,
that's a
but I've just
no,
pushed it.
No, I don't think
I
so.
I think it's just
why button. Would you make it T-shaped if it wasn't directional?
Because the other side's a minus. It's a plus sign.
Oh,
minus.
Never mind. It is a plus sign. Jesus.
Time to put him in a home.
Okay.
But I
wait,
know,
let me drink
totally
some more of this
like
beer.
Yeah.
Let me drink some more of this beer.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so Alex also covered it's more like a starter select button.
All right, it is evident.
So it's not a tiny D-pad.
It looked like
oh,
it did
it's
a tiny
so cute.
D-pad.
I want it to be a tiny D-pad.
I would too.
I want to play
he knows way more stuff than I, so I wasn't going to correct
you. You should have corrected
me.
I
wasn't
that.
There's
going
some
to.
Joke about handling small things here.
Yeah, I'm sure
you know,
there is.
I wonder if that would be worse on Tonto Corporal or a little better to just move
worse.
On. Like
the worst.
Way worse.
Dude, you couldn't do it otherwise.
We should be playing M Plus with that.
Oh, also, what I said before, you know, you hold it like this for some of the games. It's just easier. And then there's your directional.
Holy crap, so there's a battery in each one of those.
Oh, yeah. And, I didn't mention battery. So we said about the tablet, about 3 hours or so for Zelda. These are 20.
Wow.
People are running out to get chargeable grips, like this guy, with charging, so on a long cable to keep it. Keep them charged. But these are 20 hours. What do you need? If you're playing more than 20 hours, go outside. Go outside, kids.
Well, it's not about
go outside.
It's about forgetting. It's about forgetting.
So well,
yeah.
20 hours is enough.
Yeah, you can forget it. Come back to it. It'll still be okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yep.
And that's why it
costs.
Wow.
We're all staring. So.
Wow.
Moment of silence.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we established way early this was going to be low effort.
It was a lot. It has been low effort. I'm good with that.
You're saying I brought low effort?
To low effort
podcast. Yes. We're going to have a high energy weekend.
That's right.
Yeah. No, we're all saving our energy for the weekend. So
go ahead. Okay, I mean,
that was stereo.
We're going to be like right across from Nintendo this weekend. I mean, I'm going to guess going to have the Switch on display. They're going to be handing out some cool swagger.
Maybe some Zelda posters.
For those of you who are watching now who have never been to MGC before, hit the Nintendo room. They always have the best
swag.
They
have posters.
They've always got the best swag.
Cool promotional items. Like a headband.
And they're always really
good. Yeah, they had
Mario
had the
construction
cat ears that one year.
They had a Mario construction helmet from Mario Maker last year.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Oh, yeah.
God dang it. Just mention something. I got it. That's it.
Yeah.
I got later
Donkey Kong.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Let's just look at things around the room and that's it.
And they are literally right across from us. So I suppose we should probably wrap this up, gentlemen, because this is kind of a low energy podcast, and we've devolved into talking about small D-pads.
That's true.
That aren't D-pads.
Okay, so... I suppose we could wrap it up.
Okay, so...
Talk a little bit about MGC real quick.
Yeah, let's talk about MGC a little bit more.
So again, this weekend, VIG stuff sold out, so I'll just talk about Saturday, Sunday... show opens at 10 a.m. each day. It's at the Brookfield Sheraton in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It's a great gaming show. We've been talking about a crap ton, but if you're just hearing about it, take over a hotel for a weekend, free play pinball, free play arcade game, tons of industry speakers. We're going to be there hanging out, gaming and drinking.
Packed with games. We are packed with games.
Yeah. Again, tons of really cool people to see. Again, Sun Ghoulie is going to be there. We've got a couple of the actors from the live Mortal Kombat movie. The guy who plays Johnny Cage and the guy who plays John.
They're going to be doing some fighting.
The Galloping Ghosts.
They're doing some fighting
right across the hall from us.
Nice. Yes.
The Galloping Ghosts. Again, there's going to be tons of autographs and, like...
What are we doing special on Sunday?
Sunday, we are doing a Fruit Ninja competition.
For
the kids 12 and under. The family day is on Sunday, and if you're looking to come, show your kids some awesome games. Everything, again, on free play, pinball, arcade stuff. It's only $20 on Sunday, so it's a really great deal.
Oh my god, yes.
And again, we're going to be... There's specific kid-friendly tournaments and things like that. There's going to be... But we're doing Fruit Ninja in VR.
Yeah.
So we got a Vive hooked up, and it's a really fun game.
They're also doing a kid cosplay. What is
pre-sales are in tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah, pre-sale and tomorrow. If you haven't got your tickets online, you can get them cheaper if you go tonight or tomorrow to the MidwestGamingClassic.com. Go to the buy now, and they have a ticket section where you can buy online.
Yeah, and then again, also you get in a little earlier. You skip the line, and it's a half hour earlier entry than if you buy tickets.
Yeah,
so it's a little easier. You save yourself the time, especially on Sunday,
and a little money too.
Yeah.
All right. Oh wait, but we have another big event coming up on May 2nd. I forget what date it is now.
Oh, the meeting? Well, May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Yeah, well, so that will be the next sort of opportunity to see us live.
Yeah.
And we'll be in Madison at Boss Meadery. We are doing a takeover. So they have a board game night at Boss Meadery, and they've invited us to do our show live there during their board game night. So.
And it's going to be a special show, too.
Yes. That'll be our anniversary.
Yeah, five years.
Any specific board games that you guys are... thinking of, or is it just an old?
Well, you know, since it's our anniversary, I mean, there may be, you know, it's a clip show. You know, it's.
We'll be playing some.
I'll say that there will almost certainly be a Tri-Pickleman game there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
We'll
that's a really good call. I didn't even think about that. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. What's that? Troy. We'll bring maybe a couple of Troy's games there.
We'll certainly play his because I have an affinity for his games.
But if you've seen us at the Midwest Game Classic, can you go up to Boss Meter and see us there? And my God, you still haven't had enough of us. You can come to Nexus.
Yeah, which is the next one for that.
We will also be doing a live show at Nexus.
I hear a wet bar.
Will be a bar. It's a cash bar, so, you know, but it'll be...
Well, there's a bar in our room.
There'll be a bar there in the room. So my thought is, and it sounds like they're giving us a lot of time.
When's this?
We can do our show and just kind of hang out and talk and visit and have a few beers. It's Memorial Day weekend, but we're doing it on Friday, so I think that's the 26th.
Because we all go camping together.
Someone with a computer in the front of them that can look it up. Yes, the 26th.
And where is it?
That one is it's real close to the Mitchell Airport. It's a hotel. So we'll have links and stuff. I'm sure
it's a ways away yet.
It's Rob. We'll have links and stuff, right?
Larry, you were the one to bring it up. So you're the one who needs.
Yeah, you said
supposed to know this, Larry.
I should know those sort of things.
Yeah, it's Friday, May 26th. It begins at 8 a.m.
But if you look up Nexus Gaming Fest, then you
52 days away.
You will be able to find all the information that you need for that.
Nice.
We'll be all over the place.
So we're going to be around. We're going to be quite available to hang out with, make fun of.
Mainly make fun of.
It's pretty easy.
So that is at the Hyatt Regent in Milwaukee. So
another fine hotel.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we all see the best place. On that.
So all I understand if they do show up and see you guys at whatever venue, you... Chances are you're going to be offered a beer. Is that correct?
There is always
pretty
that
good
possibility.
Chance if you're 21. Yep.
If you're 21, we do card, and so sometimes we ask people to join us in beer court and give us their opinion. So sometimes that happens, and sometimes we just have a few extras.
We did have a close call there a couple years ago with the Vice Squad. So
yeah, we did. We did. Yeah, they were a little concerned. We definitely.
Yeah, and the one father who insisted that, well, it's my son, he can. No,
that doesn't work.
No,
those days are gone.
Right, and it's also bartender's discretion.
Well, it is bartender's discretion.
Yes. And we were the bartender.
And we're not technically bartenders.
Right, yeah, so
real one on our podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So. All right, so Rob, take us out.
All right. So, enjoy the podcast. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. On Facebook, for God's sake, free games. Free damn games on Friday. Yes, they're often lousy. But lately, we've had a streak of good games. So
yeah.
It's quite possible you could get a good game at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. What? You like your Twitters? Guess what? Free games there, too. Not the same free game. We don't do it like cheap-ass radio
stations. Yeah, exactly. No. We don't double dip.
Yeah,
right.
No. You get a totally different game.
Well, who does the Twitter? Also, do you also do the Twitter?
Also no, I do not.
Who does the Twitter?
Tom's the Twitter guy. That's why occasionally you'll see me responding to the Twitter feed. That would be kind of creepy if I was responding.
If you're responding to yourself, yeah, well.
Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy. But anyway, at Guys Games Beer.
All right, and that being Twitter. Said, you know what? Because this will be, again, our last show before the Midwest Gaming Classic. I will give away two games tomorrow. So follow our Twitter tomorrow, and there will be a couple of free games going on during the day.
Yep, thank you. Thank you, everybody that was listening live. All of you that have been coming on YouTube, I really do appreciate it. The whole gang does. Been really good comments on YouTube, which usually, nothing but abuse. But
I think we like come on, abuse it's YouTube. Now, it's YouTube. Come on, the people intend. Yeah.
Thank you, Mistress. Might I have another? Well, we should probably close with that. See you guys next time.
And again. Get to the Midwest Gaming Classic. Come have a beer with us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, well, bye.